What's up, everyone? It's your girl Kazen, coming to you live from Nightly T-Hawk TV. I'm here with Lou, and we're going to go ahead and get started on talking about The Walking Dead, The Next World. So today we're going to be talking about just Daryl and Rick's quality time, talking about their interaction with Jesus, and how that really played a part in this episode, talking about Michonne and Spencer, and then going in for Carl and Ina, and then really how relaxing this episode was compared to previous episodes. And then, last but certainly not least, Rashawn and their new dynamic that's coming up. So, we will go ahead and get started with Rick and Daryl's.
So, first of all, you know, you want to note this episode took place after a 2-month time skip. And the whole Rick and Daryl thing is something they haven't gotten to do in quite a while. Now, if you talk about, there was a point in the series where people were like, is Rick and Daryl a bros, like first and second in command, this guy with a crossbow and this cop? They haven't really hung out since they hit Alexandria, because Daryl was out chilling with the scout guy. I can't think of his name right now. Then Daryl was out there by himself when he went Rambo and Renegade during the whole herd mission. So, you haven't really seen them hang out in a minute. So, as soon as they got in the car and went on a run together, I was like, oh man, I just noticed this is the first time in a minute that it's just been Rick and Daryl shooting a breeze.
Right, right. It definitely has been a while. And I definitely do agree with the fact that they were like the two leaders of the group, and then they just haven't had that much interaction this season. So, it's really cool to see them getting back to the interaction that they had in previous seasons. But I feel like Rick has taken 2 steps back in this interaction just because, and not even, I don't even think it's because of Daryl. I really just think that Rick is just too relaxed right now. So they get to the truck, they have the truck, and then they're stopping off for the soda or the pop that Denise wants. Why is Rick trusting this guy and asking and trying to vet him to get into Alexandria?
Bro, are you still stuck in survival mode?
Like, I have a... Yeah, I am.
Yo, at some point you gotta be human. They've had 2 months of just straight chilling. Everything's been good. Now, I will say at first, my first question would have been like, bruh, take off the mask. You know, I was feeling like J. Jonah Jameson. I don't trust the guy because he's wearing the mask. Take off the mask. And then it was also very clear, you know, and you can tell Rick knows. It's very clear he has somewhere else he's held up. Had a very well-trimmed beard. Didn't look like he was off in a place. And they were both like, nah, we don't have a colony. So, I think he made a decent read. And eventually you're going to have to start trusting people.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. But I don't know. Because he had the clean beard and everything, so I get why they both lied about not having, like, a colony to go back to. But if they're all supposed to be trusting, they could have just both said, yeah, and then just kept it at that. It's not like they had to go into, oh, yeah, we're down 2 blocks down and make a right and all that.
Well, Rick had to ask the 3 questions first, and he didn't straight scat it on that question. How many people have you killed? And he was like, bye. Like, that's the routine. Though, I thought they would have advanced the system by now. I mean, that joint was fire the first time he did it in season 3. How many people have you killed? How many walkers have you killed? Why? Now that joint seems kind of dated.
Just a little.
And maybe you still gotta work those aspects in, but those questions, oh, they're just not as cool. Besides, Jesus wasn't having it. He was like, ha, cool, later.
Right. So then, the next thing, they got burned, because then Jesus took the truck. And
Jesus, take the wheel!
Oh, man. I'm surprised I didn't see that on Twitter.
I don't know why I didn't tweet it, because that was literally my reaction. You're about to say my initial reaction. My exact reaction was, Jesus, take the wheel!
Oh, that is hilarious, though. I feel like someone should have tweeted that. Someone. So then Do you think it's like, I don't know if this is just a scientist in me, but it's just really unrealistic for them to catch up to this truck on foot.
I think Jesus was baiting him. I think Jesus was intentionally baiting them because they both knew each other was lying. They're all like, I clearly they live in somewhere. So I feel like Jesus let them catch up. How he d done got on the top of that truck, I got no idea.
Ninja. There's no other explanation. He's a ninja.
I swear this man was watching The Matrix on repeat. He walking around in the summer with a trench coat and hit them with the smooth martial arts skills. I was like, yo, this man must just have Matrix Reloaded and he just be watching it over and over, studying Neo. Even think he the chosen one, calling himself Jesus.
He might, with all the moves he has. Cause that was like I just don't understand how he got on top of the truck and then without them noticing too.
While he was tied up.
Right. And then how he stay on the top of the truck.
Also, Daryl is petty for shaking that crush can and going in case you get pissed. I was like, yo, this is too many lows of petty.
Daryl was fed up with what they just had to do. Beyond fed up. So then they start relaxing again, drinking another crush. Shout out to Crush. And then they realize that he's on the roof somehow.
Yeah, shout out to American cars being the cars that are working in the apocalypse. They were driving a caddy at the beginning. There was a Ford Taurus sitting outside. Think the truck was a Dodge. Can't remember, but I do remember that it was American. I was like, okay, America the beautiful.
American cars are the cars to have. Make sure you have one at least.
Yep.
So then, that whole interaction with Daryl and Jesus. Daryl is trying. Do you think Daryl's trying to kill him? I feel like he is.
Feel like Daryl and feel like he needed to bring them in, which is a stark contrast for Daryl at the beginning of season, because Daryl's like, why do you think we should bring this guy in? Well, maybe Daryl just simply thinks we shouldn't bring this guy in because obviously he lied to us. Whatever his reasoning is, Daryl was the recruiter at the beginning. That was his role that he was given by Deanna, like, ah, you're gonna go out and recruit with them because we trust your judgment. You know, if we trust Daryl's judgment, Daryl is like something's fishy. He was like, nah, we leaving him out here. I gave him a crush can.
That's true. That is true. So then why do you think that Jesus saved Daryl? Do you think it was anything more than just, oh, this is another guy that is out here?
Yes, I think Jesus. So I think the second half of the season is going to be about other communities. So I think Jesus is with a community that may or may not be Negan's community. I want to say not Negan's community because he seemed, at first I thought it might be Negan's community, but his setup seemed to be in entirely good taste. And so I think whatever community he has, he feels like Alexandria could be their ally. So it's useful to follow them around, let them know, hey, there's more people out there. I think you could help us out. We could help you out. Because I think he waited for them to catch up because they weren't going to catch up to the truck. I think he let himself be taken to a certain extent. Because if this dude then untied himself and jumped on the top of a truck, he was really going to sit in there and ride all the way back to Alexandria with them? I don't think so.
Right, and then overnight, him staying tied up, like he was knocked out, but staying tied up the entire time. You clearly see he like rope tie do not work on him. He got out mad time. At the end of the episode, you see him in Rick and Michonne's house. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting with him and seeing. And I hope he's not part of Negan's crew, 'cause he like you said, he doesn't seem like he lived the same moral code as them, like, oh, if this is it, this is mine. Like the people we interacted with from last week. So we'll see. It'll be cool to have another community that's not fighting against Rick.
Yeah, I actually think the wandering might be over. Like them hopping from place to place to find somewhere. I think this might be the somewhere. And so the dynamic of the show is about to change.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I think that Alexandria is the place to be. It's an actual community, and they can just keep building on it, too. So, yeah, I can definitely see that happening. All right, so speaking of the community, you have Spencer and Michonne and their interactions.
So I felt like Michonne mostly was a sounding board to Spencer. And then the fact that she was just so much happier this episode was, I think, a running background thing. Because, you know, she was cheesing. She was joking. She was comfy. Which, if you remember when Michonne walked on the scene, not talking to anybody much, with two walkers on a string that she carried around. This is more than a 180. Well, I guess it is a complete 180 is what you would call it. But I think Spencer's quest was noble. I think I saw my mom out here the other day. I want to be the one to kill her so I could have some peace with this.
For sure, for sure. I think that it definitely helps with him getting closure so that, like, we saw that Spencer's not feeling like Alexandria is home right now. So with Michonne being there and helping him through that, I think that that will bring him back to actually believing that this is a family, because we're not going to let people go through this alone.
His actor was just talking that is after that moment, you know, he realized his family's gone. He said he didn't have any people left, but like that community of Alexandria is the only people he has left. So he better make those people his people. Shout out to Carl understanding that. Now, I said last week, watch out for Carl because he's going to be like the wisest one of all of us. His wise eye. Now it's not wise eyes. You know, if Carl would have killed Deanna when he found him, he would have taken that moment away from Spencer, who was looking for that moment, and might not have went back to Alexandria if he didn't get that moment. So Carl's judgment
is true.
Allowed them to be saved.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that it has to do with him being the one to put his brother down? And I forget what season that was, but that, like, I know that was a really big changing moment for Carl, too. So I think that that really helped him understand why Spencer was out there and why Spencer needed to get this closure.
Well, it might have had something to do with it, though. I think Spencer understood he needed a closure, and Carl was younger back then, so it took him a while to cope with that. Because remember, Carl had the utter devaluing of life. When I was talking about the other time that Glenn was the only person who hadn't killed other humans in Rick's squad, well, Carl's killing of a human came shortly after then, and he was like, what? What's the big deal? You about to die anyway. Everyone was like, don't say that. Have faith in life. So, Carl growing up in the apocalypse, I think his voice is going to become continually important.
Definitely. And speaking of Carl, so right before Carl really walks Deanna towards Spencer, he was with Enid, and they were kind of just chilling. Outside the walls, reading comics.
They were reading Invincible, which I want to point out, another Image comic. Because, you know, The Walking Dead is an Image comic series. So
yeah.
I noticed it came and I was like, ah, shout out to Invincible.
So I just, like, it's just a really, I mean, I guess it just points out to the fact that, like, times are really not as stressful, not as crazy as they were for our last episode. They're just really, everyone just really chilling. And I think the one thing that really stood out for me with Carl and Enid's interaction with the fact that Carl said that they are kids. But I don't think that Carl really believes that.
I don't think that's why he was out there, because he said that we're kids, that's what kids do. He went out there to find Deanna. But once he saw Deanna, he realized, I can't be the one to do this. So I think he went out there on a mission with the intent, which is why he sent Enid back, which I realized once he was talking to Michonne, because at the moment I was like, yo, Carl, you're bugging right now. Like, chill, dude. But I don't believe he believes that's the reason they're out there. I do believe he believes that they're kids and there's like a certain level of understanding that comes with that. And I think that's what he, even before the incidents, if you look at last season, I think that's what he was trying to get Enid to remember at an in-between. You know, Ron and his teenage angsty crew were unaware that they were kids in a post-apocalyptic world, but they were kids. And Enid and Carl were like the only ones that understood the world is different. But when Carl was out there with her, I think he was trying to get her understanding, like, yeah, the world's different, but I'm going to try to play with you because the world's different and we're kids too. So I think there is some truth to the statement, but I don't think that's why they were out there, which was a direct lie. Why are we out here? Well, because we're kids and that's what kids do. Now you came to find someone.
True. Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. Then you mentioned Michonne, so we're gonna wrap up this talk the talking points with Michonne, Rick and Carl and that whole new dynamic. So how are you feeling about this new relationship?
I was sort of, I guess, I know that this was about to go down just because, one, there's the paranoia of now there's like too much happiness and stability going on, where I feel like something got to F up the stability, which I'll circle back around to. And I wasn't even thinking anything was going to happen until the end. Like, the weirdest thing about the episode to me was when Michonne was like casually asking how people's days were going. Hey, Carl, how was your day? And I'm like, okay, we don't do that. And when he's sitting on the couch, he's like, hey, how was your day? I was like, we just got enough time to be asking about people's days, which is incredibly freaky. And that's why I started thinking it could be a thing. But like at the beginning of the episode where she walks upstairs and was like, I need some toothpaste in the bathroom, I didn't think that was anything because they've been living in the same house since they got to Alexandria. And
All right.
you live in the same house, you work in the same space. It's something that happens. And you know, once they got in a moment to calm down and had a moment, and Rick is like, I couldn't find toothpaste, but I got your mints. And I was like, I guess. But you know, Glenn and Maggie are happily living, about to have a baby, which I thought Maggie might be showing more, but hey, if she got it, she got it. It's been at least 2 months. She found out she was pregnant, so I don't know
Yeah.
how long that is. I don't know if they wanted to stole a pregnancy test and she found out early on. I was like, huh, why is she looking all pregnant now? But with that going on and the possibility of the Sasha Abraham, it's like you can't have so many stable relationships in the show because then they all get boring. So now I'm afraid. Now I am afraid and paranoid. It doesn't have to be somebody in that household specifically that goes wrong, but there's going to be some trouble in paradise somewhere because everybody can't have good things. So I'm a
I
little
didn't.
paranoid on that one. But go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't actually think about that. Like, everyone is about to be in some. Well, a lot of the main characters are either in relationships or in some very happy-go-lucky times right now. But one thing that I saw on Twitter that really caught my eye, Rick. Every person that Rick had been with had died. So I'm hoping that Michonne will break that trend because I really don't want her to die on this.
Hey, you could take Rick out before Michonne.
Honestly, I would be 100% okay with that because
Girl moment for Carl. Michonne take the wheel. I just don't want her to die.
meanwhile, the thing is, if it's not Rick and Michonne, we already saw that Glenn has 20 lives. So
Walker Bay, man. Can't escape.
then the only people left are Sasha and Abraham
I know the people already think
or
Abraham
Denise
could
and
die.
Tara.
That's true. But Tara's the doctor, so we need her alive. I mean, not Tara. Denise is the doctor, so we need her alive.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how this rolls out because every one of them are not going to be alive. Like, someone's going to die before the end of the season, if not at the very end of the season.
Yeah,
Or something bad's going to happen. Someone's going to get kidnapped by Negan's crew, something.
too happy, man. I guess we gotta put our faith in Jesus.
Jesus take the wheel.
I'm gonna be having so much fun with his name in these shows. Even when he first said his name, before the Jesus take the wheel moment, I was like, you know what? I don't trust Jesus. And I was like, that was so weird to say.
Oh man.
And what's his real name? It was like Paul Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
Paul.
my friends call me Jeep.
And his beard was like super well trimmed. Shout out to Beard Nation. His beard was, I shave
I will give him that.
at least twice a week to keep that joint that even, well combed. Because to keep that joint even at length is some beard maintenance.
Yeah, it was really well kept.
I wonder if Jesus learned martial arts for the show, or if they went out and found somebody who had a Jesus beard and Jesus hair and also did martial arts.
I have no idea. I feel like it would be easier to find someone who did martial arts and tell them to grow out all of their hair.
Yeah, who knows? I know I looked up right before we got on mic. Jesus is a comic character, but I just looked to see if he was a character and wouldn't read the article because I like my ignorant bliss. I don't want to know things. So there's a Jesus in a comic, and apparently they look pretty similar.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that had a picture of Jesus from the comics and Jesus from the episode today. And yeah, they do look pretty similar. So shout out to them. Try to stay as close to the comic book.
Which is interesting because it seems like this season they've been drifting back closer to the comic book, I guess. Because, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened, like Glenn's long dead and Andrea would have survived longer and Carol is long dead. But I know I saw on Twitter like pictures from the Carl scene, which happened in like Walking Dead 80 something, and him getting shot and him saying dad after he got shot, those were like ripped from panels directly.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw it too, and I was like, and everyone was so excited on Twitter, like, oh, they did it exactly like in the comics. And I was just like, oh man, I need to read these comics. I need to
I don't. I
catch
like my
up.
ignorant bliss.
You don't want to read them?
No, so there's like a certain level of ignorance that is in its own way appealing. Like when I do the Flash shows and I'm not in any way a Flash expert, but I'm like a Crisis Era DC expert. So when people are like, there's these certain aspects that are shrouded in mystery, and I'm like, well, my comic book knowledge allows me to guess and play at things people who haven't read the comic can. As opposed to me watching Jessica Jones and people like knowing who Simpson is and I don't know. Me going in blind is exhilarating in a way.
I can understand that. I think that is far enough in that I would be okay with going back and reading it now, because I didn't know anything about Jessica Jones either, and I love the show. Same thing with Daredevil, but I think that for me, since we're so far in, since we're in the sixth season, I could probably, I won't even say catch up, but I could probably start reading it now. We'll see though.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair assessment. Walking Dead, I think it's like over 200 issues or approaching 200 issues. So that's a long running comic. That's a big accomplishment for a comic to hit 200.
And that's a lot of issues. A lot of issues.
So shout out to Robert Kirkman. I see your work, your series doing great. And I think it got to 200 rather quickly. Like, I don't know how many months off. I know there was a period they were doing two a month. And Spawn just hit 200 last year, I think. So, Spawn, I guess, took a break for some time and came back, blah, blah, blah. And Walking Dead just consistently been on their grind. And they up to 200. Okay, so Spawn's on 260. Man, that means Spawn 200 might have hit a while. Oh, no, it was Spawn 250 that Al Simmons came back. So Spawn's on 260, so that's not too bad. The Walking Dead is on 200 and stupid internet. The Walking Dead, huh? 150. Oh wow! So they've got it plotted out at 200. They just hit 150 in January. Kirkman says he's got it
Okay.
plotted out to 200. Still, 150. Great for a comic book.
Still a lot. Yeah.
Once you hit 120, you're at a decade. That's my quick reference point in my head.
So what do you think next week's episode of The Walking Dead is going to be like?
I think we will listen to the word of Jesus as he tells us what is on the horizon.
I definitely think that we will have some Jesus' words.
Jesus will show them the way to wherever he's from.
Trying to think of what other interactions we can have, though. I like when the show jumps around.
I mean, we got
different perspectives.
Well, everybody's in town now, so we can just kind of check in on everybody.
That's true.
But we've had 2 months of peace time.
Yeah, they might just send a crew to go to where Jesus is saying that he's from.
I need somebody to have a farm, bro. I need somebody raising some cattle, growing some corn, because canned food can't last forever.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't thought about that. Like, instead of them having to go out for runs all like every so often, they could cut those trips a lot shorter if they just grew their own food.
Yeah, I'm a hope that they could maybe Jesus's village farms.
Maybe that's how they can help each other. We offer you guys protection, or we can train them, and then you guys can help us with food.
I don't know if protection is going to be the gig, because from what I have heard about Negan's food, that's how they operate. We offer you protection, and you give us everything. And that's why they're called the saviors. But I don't know. That's convoluted, like, third-hand comic information.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with Jesus and his squad.
Well, is that everything?
Actually, just one last thing that's just really random. Who was running these radio stations?
I don't know. Wait, they were listening to the radio?
Yeah, I thought when Rick and Daryl had first left, he turned on the radio and Daryl was like, no. Unless he was just saying no to his singing. But I thought that they were listening to the radio and Rick was just singing along.
I don't know. I missed that detail. I'll go back and see if I could catch it. Also, shout out to the moment when Jesus called them out. Do you even have ammo in those guns? And they both shot the walker in the head. I was like, dang, try them again.
Yeah, I think that's all. That's all we have for tonight.
All right, Homicidal fans. If you are enjoying the podcast, tell a friend. Give us a review on iTunes. Actually, a review on iTunes, since iTunes has the biggest podcast repository, would probably be the greatest thing ever in the world to help us out. So go ahead and do that. If you aren't already, follow us on Twitter at homicidaltheehawks@gmail.com. Well, no, that is our email. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's just at homicidaltheehawks. No gmail.com part. Pretty consistent. Check out our blog out on the Cortex, homicidalcortex.ghost.io. And we will be seeing you soon once we finally post that What's Up Wednesday and hit you back up when Gotham starts, so our Mondays might be live and popping. This is Lucius Illuminix.
And your girl, Kaven.
And we are out for the night.